From what I can recall, last surah we did was Suratul Buruj, and the surah before that, or after that if we come in from the other side, is Suratul Inshikak. Now this surah, like all the others, is just the gist, that is the hereafter. It is very important, and we have pointed this thing out to understand this, and we will actually, time permitting, some other time go into this thing as well. That when we follow religion, I mean, what do we follow, what do we expect from religion? Or what is religion sort of offering us, alayhi salam? And when we look at the Quran as well, I mean, what is it offering? What do we expect from it? In fact, many people have expectations which are sort of, I don't think that the religion can fulfill, or religion is there to fulfill, or it has ever claimed that it can, or it is for that purpose. But one thing is certain, if you look at the Quran, or any sort of, in fact, most of the religions, that what they, one of the things that they are offering, and which they are giving us or telling us, is, and that is one of the major parts of religion and one of the most important parts of it. In fact, the Quran says that the major purpose, in fact everywhere, not once, twice, but so many times in the Quran, that the prophets have been sent for two major things, Naziram wa Bashira, and both of them relate to the hereafter. They are warners and givers of good tidings, not of in this world. They don't tell you that you will be rich here and poor here, or you will face difficulties here and you will be happy here. No, it's Naziram or Bashira is to do with the hereafter. You will be happy there or unhappy there, how, according to how you act or what we say. So the major, in fact the most important task of the Prophet, according to the Quran, is to be Nadir and Bashir. So it is no surprise that most of the Quran, in fact the beginning surah, most of them only concentrate in anything that but the hereafter. And this is a major sort of point, or the thing that the religions have to offer, is the hereafter. Now, nowadays this has become sort of a bit of a contention. I mean, there are people who do not accept this thing, even though it's so evident. They do not like to accept it because it has other consequences which we will look at some other time. But, so do not, I mean, when you find that all these surahs talking about the hereafter, there is some reason. This is one of the major things after sort of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there is a creator, which was not something that was new. Always human beings have believed these things, that there is something, someone has created. But the concept that there is a hereafter is not something very easy to grasp or to understand without the help of religion. So it is, and this is one of the reasons, I mean, we could say that the Quran Sufra emphasizes so much on the hereafter and this question of accountability, that whatever you are doing here, you are accountable. And you will see it's put very nicely in this surah, the people who think they are accountable, those who do not think accountable, or those who are carefree. Anyway, the surah takes its name from the first ayah, which is Inshakka. Is a samaun shakkat. So inshikak is the noun from shakka. Inshakka, coming from shak, is to split. To split, to break. And we also know of this ayah, inshakkal kamar, that is relating to this mu'jiza or miracle of the Prophet, or others have said to the hereafter. But anyway, most of the Mufassir relates to the miracle of the Prophet when he split the moon into two, in Shakkal Kamar, the moon split into. Is a Samaun Shakkat, when the heaven, or when the sky, Sama, as we have all said so many times, is everything that is above the earth is Sama. When the heavens, or when the sky splits asunder, when it breaks, when it disintegrates. And this, many other ayahs also point to that, that this system that we are seeing is going to be destroyed. It will disintegrate, it will fall apart. So when breaking, when it breaks, Now here also we must understand that there, to be honest, and we will look at this also as we go in tafsir, the question of sama and samawat and the seven heavens and what they are and how the Quran is, or is it just a sort of usage of the language which was used at that time. And many of the discussions, even here, is a samaun shakkat, when the skies are broken. Now, we don't realize this thing, but many past Mufassirs had a very big problem with this ayah. When the skies are broken, disintegrates. Because they believed in a sort of world or heaven. They had this concept that there are skies, and there are some skies are made of only one element. And that element cannot disintegrate. They had this thing that this element of the sky is such that it doesn't disintegrate. It's everlasting and will last ever until Allah subhanahu is there. So they said, okay, it's been the difference between Allah and it is that that thing has been created, but then it's everlasting and everlasting. And it cannot disintegrate. This was, they were saying that the element in which some of the sky or one of the skies is made is such. So these ayahs, for example, when the sky will disintegrate, will break up, was difficult for them to explain, and they had to sort of go around it and find meanings with it. And this, and in fact, we must understand that even that is the case today. I mean, we cannot do but that. We understand things from the outside world, and when the Quran says about it, we try to fit these things inside. We do not say that the outside world is wrong. I mean, how can we say it? They used to understand it that way, their science or whatever their knowledge was of the time was that. So they had to fit it. And this is what we do as well. And that's why I don't like to go into detail tafsir or the mufassirs, because they have said what they understood and what they had. They had a different, they lived in a different world, we live in a different world, though we will be living in the same planet. They lived in a world round which the sun went. We live in a world which goes round the sun. And this is a different world, it's not the same world. And they lived in a world which was more made of four elements, and we live in a world which is made of so many elements. And they lived in a world which, and everything was different. The causes were different, and things were different in it. And this is how they lived in the world. We live in a world that we know, that is in our mind, how it is and how it is. And that's how we explain things. So I just want to sort of, when making tafsir, just give, break down the difficult words and give what the meanings are. You can then make it compatible with the world that you live in, and see how it fits in a world that you live in. Just tell you these are the pieces, and you just piece them up with the jigsaw which is already in your mind. Is a samaun shakkat, when the sky is broken, split. Wa adhinat li rabbiha wa hukkat. Adhina, we all know udhun. Udhun is ear. Adhina, and ear has to do with hearing. And adhina, whenever this thing comes, has something to do with hearing. And it listens, gives a ear. It listens and obeys, adhinat li rabbiha, to its Lord. Wa hukkat. Hukkat is passive from hakka. Hakka is to be appropriate, to be right, to act as is suitable, as it befits, in a right manner, in a proper manner. Hukkat, as the Mufassirs have said, it gives an ear, or it listens, obeys to its Lord, and acts in an appropriate manner, the way it should act. That is, the way it should act is to listen to the Lord. To listen to the Lord when it comes to the earth and the heavens and everything else is sort of act or display whatever Allah's orders are, to act accordingly. So it, and these are the orders, that it is the order of Allah that it splits, and this the sky obeys accordingly. This is it. The sky is its creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that Allah says goes. There is nothing that the sky can do. So it will split asunder. It will break. It will disintegrate. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And when the earth, sama, and then you have the earth. Earth is that is which is under you, and the sama is above you. And the earth, when it is, now mudda has got different meanings. One is mudda, is to stretch, is stretched. And the other one is, when you stretch something, it gets leveled. I mean, there are any folds in it, you stretch it, you level it, flatten it. These are two meanings most profusely pointed, that it is stretched and flattened, all the mountains in it flattened, everything becomes a plane. And others have said, relying on some hadith, that there will be so much crowd on the earth that Allah will actually stretch it, make it bigger than what it is. There won't be enough space for everybody to stand. So Allah will make it bigger, stretch it, making it bigger. Or it's leveled up, which is given by many other ayahs, when the mountains will be like fluff, that will be floating, they will be all leveled. So the earth will be leveled, stretched. وَأَلْكَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And this also gives the meaning of stretching, sort of making it thinner, sort of leveling it up, so that everything inside comes out when you stretch and level things up. وَأَلْكَتْ مَا فِيهَا. And it will throw up everything that is in it. مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And will become empty. As we say, خَلَّتْ. Will become تَخَلَّتْ. Will become empty. Now what will be thrown out is not sort of, it says everything, whatever is in it will be thrown out. And then because it's talking about the Qiyamah, Mufassir said it means bodies will be thrown out. Though we have other rivayat says that everything, even the minerals in it will be thrown out, the expensive material, gold and silver and all these things will be thrown out, and people will say, is this the things that I wasted my life for? All these things, rubbish which is being thrown out now, you know, useless. So everything will be thrown out. Now you could be a scientist and say that this mafia is the lava and whatever. I mean, this is up to you. The Quran says it will be stretched and it will throw up everything that is in it, come empty. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُكَّتْ. And it will be obedient, will listen to its Lord and will act appropriately. That is, it is appropriate for it that it listens. It is nothing but the creature of Allah, and this is the appropriate thing for it to do, as nothing else. It can't do anything other than that. And then comes this, these are just a prelude to this thing that comes later on. The main part or the main ayah, Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaki. O man, innaka kadihun. Kadh is to labor, to toil, to struggle, to go under something with strain and hardship. So you are laboring, you are toiling, you are working hard. Kadh is a person who goes under, who does kadh, who is mulfail, is the doer, as you like, if you like to say, of that act. That is, it is the toiler. You are toiling. You are the one who is toiling. But you are not toiling just like this. You are toiling towards, you are going with hardship towards your Lord. You, every day, and people have said, Mufassir, Qad is this life. This life is a toil. I mean, you have to pass through with difficulties. We are all passing through it, as if you are walking up a stiff mountain or something, working very hard. We are going to our Lord. فَإِنَّكَ كَادِنَا رَبِّكَ كَدْهَنْ فَمُلَاكِ. And you will meet him. Mulaki from Lakiyat, meet. And you will meet him. And surely you will meet him. Or meet it. That is, others have said, you will meet your kad. You will meet your toil, your work, your hard work. You will meet your hard work. You are toiling towards Allah and you will meet your hard work with him. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they will show you your hard work, or you will be made, you will come with your hard work. But more appropriate that you will meet your Lord. You will meet your Lord. You are working towards it, you are going towards him with hardship. And then here it is not a moment or anything. Everybody is going towards him. This, whether he likes it or not, this is something that it says as a fact. I mean, something that's revealed as a fact. Here it is, you are all toiling towards your Lord and you will meet him. What will happen when you meet him? فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. And whoever is given his books in his right hand. Now, right hand has got this meaning of being good. Anything good is, and we also sort of, this concept has come throughout in everywhere. We do good things with our right hand. We do bad things with our left hand. clean things are done with your right hand. This may be out of hygiene or maybe anything, but it encompasses a wider thing. And good luck is also from right, and bad luck is from the left, and so on and so forth. Then he is saved and he is in a fasawfa yuhasabu hisaban yasira. And then his account, or his reckoning, his taking of account. Hisab, hasaba is to take hisab, to take account. Then his hisab or his reckoning will be an easy reckoning. Yasir is easy. It will be easy and swift for him. No pain, no difficulty. Because he has done good deeds in his life, and everything will be nice and good for him. And وَيَنْكَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَحْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And he will turn. Inkalaba is to turn. He will turn to his ahl. Ahl is usually your relatives, your close relatives, your kinsfolk. And you will turn, and he will turn to his relatives, his kinsfolk. Masrura. Masrur is in joy, happiness, carefree. Now, the beauty of this word is that it's been used for the kafirs as well, but they later on, as we'll say, that they were masrur. And the word carefree actually fits very nicely. It is appropriate that we are carefree on that day, because after that, in that day there is no hisab. There is no accountability after that day. But in this world there is accountability. In that world there is no accountability. Whatever you do there, Allah is not going to question you. That is your reward. You can do what you like there, but you can't do what you like here. So those who are masroor here, who are carefree, who are joyous, have no worries in this world that what is coming after, they are going to be punished there. But there you can be masroor. There is no worry there. You can do what you like. You don't have to worry. But here you have to worry. You can't do what you like. And those who are carefree and joyous here are asking for big trouble. So these are the people who will turn. They have done good. They were not masroor. They were not carefree in this world. They were careful, heedful, and knowing that there is accountability. We have to give account of what we are doing in this world. So they were not carefree. They cannot be carefree. But on that day, then they will turn to their ahl and they will be happy, joy. And there will be sort of no worries. They have no worries. Everything's finished. Why? Time for worry is finished. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. And as for those who are given their book behind their backs. Now here many Mufassirs have said, because the word or the phrase used here is behind their back. In some parts of the Quran it is in their left hand. So he says there is no contradiction. They are given their books behind their back in their left hand. So what's wrong with it? Yeah, okay, there is no contradiction. And others have said, like Tabatabai, it is possible that these are, here it is not talking about all the groups. It's talking about two groups out of many groups. So there is one group who is given a book in his right hand and their hisab is very easy and they are the good folks and nice folks. And there are others who are really bad and they are given their books behind their back. And their hisab is terrible. But in the middle there are many others who are not that good and are not that bad and so on and so forth. And they may be given in the left hand, they may be given. So, and he also sort of goes and elaborates a bit, which I do not think is of his own creation, because he has other views about other things, that whether this hisab is before punishment and after punishment, and what will happen to those people, good Muslims who have done something bad and they are going to hell for a temporary period and will be later on saved by Shafa'a. Here there is no mention of this thing. This is of his doing, because it's his concept about Shafa'a is and how it is. That he has to explain, because other places he has sort of built a theory which he sees that doesn't fit here with this science, so he has to explain. So that, we don't want to go into that. Here it is, and there is, I don't think there's any contradiction. On left hand they could be given their, that is, seems appropriate. They were given their book in their left hand behind their back. And after all, this is also metaphorical, giving in your left hand and your right hand. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ. As for those who are given their book, or as for him who is given his book behind his back. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. فَسَوْفَ, and he will يَدْعُو. سَوْفَ is for
to make it future. Yadu from da'a, to call for, to ask for. And he will call for fubura. Fubura is destruction, for perdition, to be dead, to be wiped out. He will call because he is in such a state that he would like to be wiped out, to be destroyed. He doesn't like to stay in where he is. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُ الْفُبُورَ And he will call for destruction. He will ask that he be destroyed. وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا Yasla is to burn. Sa'ira is a scorching, very hot fire, flaming fire. And he will be burned in a flaming fire. Why? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا And he was with his kinsfolk, with his relatives, masroor, carefree, joyous, not being worried about anything in the earth, in his life before where he is. He was before Masroor. Whereas the people who are righteous, they will be Masroor. They were not Masroor. They were not carefree. They were not sort of joyous without any sort of limitation. No, they were always worried and were always aware that there is something going to happen. And this is pointed out by the next, إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ عَلَّنْ يَحُورًا And he thought, and he deemed, he thought that لَنْ يَحُورَ There will never be, حَارَ means to return, that he will return, that he will never return. He thought that he will never return. This is what it is, dies and is finishes. بَلَى No, it is not like that. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا His Lord was basira, is to aware of everything that he was doing. His Lord was aware of him, knew him, encompassed everything that he was doing. And that basira means that his Lord is not going to sort of leave him alone, that he knows what he is doing, what he knew what he was doing, so he's not going to leave him alone. And then there are a few customs, and the surah ends. I don't know whether we should continue or stop other classes. So there are a few customs, and then the surah ends. But this, the whole message is just as brief, like all others, that there is accountability. And this is actually the main part of religion, of all religions, that there is accountability. We are not free to do what we like. Not free in the sense that we are capable, but there is something that is going to come. And this is one of the things that the prophets have come, and the main reason why prophets have come. Nazir and Bashir, to warn us and to give us the glad tidings or the good tidings. That look, something is coming up. Whatever you do has consequences in the next one. This is not very easy to find out with our akal. We have said this repeatedly. It is not easy. It is, in fact, not even possible by just mere reasoning to find out that something is coming. Or there is a qiyamah, and everything will become evident. And everything we do, small or big, nothing will be left sort of without consequences. We'll see it and its consequences. And this is the main purpose of religion. To ensure us that we know that this is coming. And to tell us how to act so that there we are not repentant. And we are sort of amongst those who get their book in the right hand. Not amongst those who call for Fubura or call for destruction, but are those who sort of are masroor and happy. So remember, this is the main purpose of religion. No matter what others say, it is borne out by the Quran over and again, but times and again we fall for other things that we sort of then do not like to accept, these simple things which people have always accepted. The main purpose of the prophets is Nadhira wa Bashira. It's repeated over and over again, and also the Quran bonds it out that the main purpose is your happiness in the hereafter. That does not overrule your happiness here, but the main purpose is your happiness in the hereafter. That's why the Prophet. Other things you can find out. You may be able to find out with your intelligence, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you intelligence to live in this world and to find out things, but He knows the limitations. One of the limitations, you cannot find out what's going to happen in the hereafter. And He has to warn you, as He says, it is His duty. I need to just complete His duty that He warns you of these things, that this is going to happen. I think we'll stop here. Inshallah, next time we'll look at, continue with Nahjul Balagha. And then finish this surah, inshallah.
If we know that
That is another question, and a big, good question, and something that has sort of preoccupied many Mufassirs and theologians for a long time. They have come up with that. Maybe we are told, but we do not sort of comprehend it properly. We do not take it and believe it rightly. Or sometimes it says the mankind is such that when they are told and they do not have this what we call yakin, or yakin is sort of complete and belief in it. We do not believe in it, though we say, maybe there is. We're not 100% sort of convinced. That's why we do other things. Or others have said it, I think that's the best explanation. We are forgetful. We forget things.
It's bad, so
we shouldn't be forgetful. And Allah always says that that's why you remember and remind them. That's why also the prophets are also reminders, and this Quran is a reminder. And that's why we are told to remember it over and over, because we are forgetful. And forgetfulness is good in many cases, but not in this case, it's not good. And so we should not be forgetful in this case. Look, we are responsible, things are going. But that does not mean that we do not do. This is a nice, for example, I was talking to somebody and said, okay, then what, should we be acting differently from those who do not believe? Shouldn't we be, don't we do the same things? We go and earn our living, we bring our children up, we marry, we give birth, you know. So looking from outside, a believer is no different from a non-believer. The thing is that, yeah, they are different in the sense that why they do it. The person is not sort of thinking of the hereafter. The fact that the non-believers walk on 2 feet doesn't mean we have to go and walk on our arms. There is no such thing. We can walk on our 2 feet and be believers. Other people think that no, we have to be different in every way. That is not true. We have the differences in why we do things. We earn to live, and why do we live? We live for because we can do good deeds and all. Then they earn and they live, and they live for something else. So all these things, there is a difference. But it is not sort of in the outward sense, but inside, yes, how we do things and why we do things are different. But yes, we have to remember, and I think the best reason is that we are forgetful. And Allah also said, we are forgetful. We have to remember. And that's why we have prayers and all these things to remind us, and always aware, we are aware that this is happening or going on. So we act accordingly. So anybody who is more aware and more remembers it more and heedful, then he does less of the bad things. Though all these things have other sort of things. For example, we don't find any Muslims. In fact, even worse people than non-Muslims. So how do you explain this? They are remembering all the time, but they are committing sins which are worse than, or non-believers, some of them wouldn't even think of. But these are all questions, yes, which come, and they have sort of people who have said them, and you can think of yourself. But it is true that if you remember Allah, and this may be because we think that non-believers, we categorize non-believers wrongly. Those who do good are also believers. They believe somehow in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. But we think, because of our thinking, that they are non-believers. But they are believers in the correct sense of the word.
There are no
yes or no.
Would it in any way alter a belief of a Muslim if he were to consider Ma'ad or the hereafter, if you like, as an event that may happen or will happen, but if unconnected with his life in this world? In other words, when saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worth praying to ibadah, he deserves the ibadah. The rules laid down by Islam on every aspect of Islamic etiquette, whatever, are all making sense. So if one leads his life with intention of, yes, Allah is worth praying to, and whatever the rules that are laid there are sensible, and then you die, and if you are going to be raised and resurrected, then there is a bonus, if anything you can have there.
As far as the In fact, what you have said also, I mean, when you said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy and all these things, I mean, in fact, one of the things about heaven is that is what heaven is. And in the Quran also there is a beautiful ayah, it says, مَقْعَدَ سِدْكٍ in the رَبِّ الْمُقْتَدِرِ. A proper, rightful place with their lords in amongst, as if a king is sitting and those people sitting with him in the right, in his loved or proper right position with the king. They said that this is what heaven is, to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who are sort of seeking the presence of Allah, and there are people, they said that heaven is nothing but being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what heaven is, and all pleasures are. But there is nobody who says that no, there is no, hereafter has got no connection. I mean, this is not borne out by anything. It has all the connections. And this is borne out by the Quran, that there isn't a small grain of act, a grain of act, but that Allah will bring it out. And you will see it, and consequences it will be seen. So this thing is... Yeah, but the living, yeah, okay, when you say that living, whether he should be happy or not in this world, this is entirely a different now story. Whether even happiness is, in this world, is there happiness or not? So how should he be living? These are a different sort of understanding. There are people who say that we should only be happy in the next world. And there are religious people who say that the less happy you are here, the more happy you are. There are people like that. And this is even borne out by many of our hadith, in fact, funny enough. We go into this subject, when there are people who say that happiness in this world is unconnected with happiness in that world. Right? So all these things are there. And they also explain that unhappy, those who say that we have to be unhappy here is relatively. Relative to this world, we are unhappy here. But relative to the happiness of the people in this world, we are happy. And even more happy. So these things are there, and sort of we have hadiths and we have many people who actually think that to be less happy here is better. We will be more happy there. And in fact, there are verses of the Quran that would, if not look properly, would point to that sort of thing, that sort of interpretation. Inshallah, having time, we'll look at. But generally, people have said, yeah, you are right. I mean, you can be happy here, can be unhappy here. And people have been happy, nice, good people have been happy in this world. Good people in the sense that they are certainly amongst the best slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There have been prophets who are really happy, kings and whatever, like Sulaiman and even our prophet, and they will be very happy in the hereafter. There have been people who are very unhappy here and will be very happy there, like Ayub and others and whatever. So this, yes, I mean, generally, I mean, I think that what generally people would say that, yeah, there is no... nothing that you can't be happy in this world, and it doesn't mean that if you are unhappy here, you will be unhappy there. In fact, there are verses in the Quran that says that people will say that, why have you reason be blind, O Allah, when I was seeing in the other one? And said that, so these are sort of all pointers to showing that there's nothing here, that you cannot be happy in this world. In fact, the present interpretation of the Muslims is that you have to be happy here, and you have to be happy there. This is what I was pointing to.